Well, I wonder how many of us made New Year's resolutions. And only 9 days later, I wonder how many of us have actually kept any of them, or whether they've all been broken. It's a great thing to make a new resolution, but statistics, I'm afraid, show that very few actually are kept. It's very hard, isn't it, to change overnight. God said, I will make a new covenant. Not like the covenant that was broken by the people, where the law was written on the hearts of stone, on the tablets of stone, sorry. Now the law will be written on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, you only have to go shopping or read the magazines to discover, of course, that the word new is everywhere, because new sells. Our washing powder is new and improved, which means, of course, the old one was completely rubbish, I presume, but the new one now is definitely going to do the job. Our ice cream has a new, creamier, yummier taste. Our phones can have a new app, and you'll wonder how you ever managed to live without it, if you have such things. And our supermarket has a new and a fresh and a modern look, which means, of course, that we cannot find a thing. So new can be wonderful, but can also be a little bit threatening or a bit scary. As a new minister being called here, it was quite scary. What am I going to do? How is it going to be? Will they like me? Will I fit in? Will I know what to do? Will they expect more of me than I can give? Will I have to go in new directions? It's scary. And for people receiving a new minister also, similarly, what will they be like? Where will they lead us? Where will they take us? So new can be exciting, but it can also be quite scary. It can be uncomfortable. It can also be invigorating. It can be threatening, but it can also be full of hope and promise, which I think just about sums up the covenant prayer that we will soon be sharing together. Now, as I started to prepare in my new role here, I did experience some fear and apprehension and questioning and anxiety and concern, and would it all be okay, and what would it be like, especially in the middle, of course, of a pandemic. Turn this off. Forgive me. Oh, I'll leave. Okay, it's probably because I'm moving about. Tell you what, I'll put it on. So when I came here, I wanted everything to feel controlled and safe and risk-free. But of course, life isn't like that, is it? Life cannot be like that. If I'm honest, I was looking inwards at what I wanted things to be like and how I wanted to feel. Instead of looking outwards towards a God who equips, who enables, who accompanies us on our way, wherever God leads us. Now, the covenant prayer cuts through all of this. My or our desire to be in control of our lives. My or our desire to feel safe and risk-free. For in this prayer, in joining in this covenant, we are placing our trust not in our own self and strength, but in God's self and strength. The God who, as the Psalms tell us, is not is our rock and our fortress. He's not a distant God. This is the God who is with us, the God who is our rock, the God who leads, who guides, who sustains, who strengthens our hearts, the one who above all loves us and has compassion and mercy upon us. The covenant prayer is a huge ask. It cannot be entered into carelessly or without sincere intent. Being in covenant with God in Christ does not mean that life will somehow become easier or simpler, pain-free, or with smooth paths. But rather, the prayer challenges us to see and to seek God's will and glory in all things, in all situations of life, wherever we may find ourselves. We do not ask God to impose times of suffering and struggle on us. Of course we do not. But we seek to acknowledge God's presence with us and God's commitment to us in all of life's events, that we may actively or patiently seek his will in all things and find God's love reflected in and pervading all that may come our way In other words, sometimes finding God in that darkness that we mentioned at the beginning. In our reading from Deuteronomy, Moses tells the people assembled before him that the covenant establishes them as God's people, just as God promised. The covenant then is a promise made by God, and God keeps God's promises. God will be our God and we will be God's people because God has promised it will be so. And this promise is not just to those people who were gathered there, you may have noticed, but it was also, in our reading it says, to those who were not there on that day. How were those not there going to hear this great promise? Reading between the lines, the answer is that, of course, those who had the privilege of hearing it would also have to share the good news with others, with those who were not there, those who had not yet heard it. That is the duty, the responsibility. We've heard the news. We've got to take it out. We are a people of the promise. In receiving our covenant today, we pledge ourselves to faithfully live out the promise of others, to the benefit of others, that those who are not here may yet hear this good news, the promise of God, that God is with them. Jeremiah, though, speaks then of a broken covenant. Broken not by God, who remained faithful to God's promise, but broken by the people. But now, says Jeremiah, God is making a new covenant, a covenant where, once again, God affirms the promise that God will be our God and we will be God's people. Now, through God's law, the law will be written on our hearts, not just on tablets of stone. It will become personal to us. And we find that God provides the means by which we can all know him. For God has given us Jesus, God who came to us in Jesus, the babe in the manger, God with us. God has provided the means by which we can all know him. Jesus comes to show us what God is like. God will remove those things that create a barrier between God and his people, enabling us to be in relationship with him. God has promised that we will be his people, and God provides the means for that to be so. For Christ demonstrated once and for all through his life, his death, his resurrection, that love, free, merciful, forgiving love, breaks through all barriers between God and humankind. God says in Jeremiah 31:34, "For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." So God offers through the covenant a loving relationship with him. But this is no business contract where two sides make a deal with promises to provide certain goods or services for mutual exchange or for financial benefit. No, this covenant is all God's initiative. It is a means of grace. It is gift. God has promised and God provides the means. We are asked to place our trust in that promise, to come to God and to accept it. Just come and offer ourselves and accept God's grace for ourselves. God, creator of the universe and all within it, bends down to us. God bends down to us and comes to us in Jesus. He gives us his grace and freely offers us his love and mercy. God has done this for us. But as with any gift, we must accept it. We had left those gifts at Christmas on the side all wrapped up nicely in their paper. They're of no use, are they? We have to unwrap those gifts and we make use of them and we enjoy them. But we have got to accept those gifts. This is free gift. Not like a free cheap toy at the bottom of the cereal packet or even like the little gift that came in your Christmas cracker. This is a gift of none other than of life and of love of Christ himself, wrapped up in the ordinariness of human flesh. God's love in human flesh in Christ. It is gift to us. And as we heard in St. Mark's Gospel, Christ's life was given for us. His blood of the covenant was poured out for us. And of course, it's this gift of covenant that we remember and celebrate each time bread is placed in our hands and we put the cup to our lips. And how we should celebrate this gift of God's grace. God has promised his faithfulness and his commitment to us. God has provided the means by which his love is fully demonstrated. It's all free gift. We pledge ourselves to daily living within the promise of the covenant, for God declares that we are God's people. So how can this covenant, made between God and God's people, sealed by the gift of Christ to us, how can it be new for us today? Why do we need to remake our covenant, as it were? Well, our annual covenant service gives us the opportunity to renew our covenant relationship with God. John Wesley thought that actually this covenant should be renewed more than just once a year. He was very into the covenant service. We just have it once. But that's because we are being constantly changed and transformed. This covenant is new because we are new. We are not the same people that we were last year. Things have happened, things have changed, we have grown, we have developed. Our understanding and our experience of God has changed. We are affected by all that goes around us and, of course, by all that takes place within us. We are new people this year, different from last year. We continue to seek, as Paul puts it so neatly in Romans 12, verse 2, we continue to seek to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are in a different place this year from last, figuratively at least, if not for some, maybe literally. We are in a new place. Putting your will or your will, not mine, be done as we pray in prayer means something different to us this year from last because we are different people. And when I came here, a lot of work was done on the mats to make it nice and comfortable because it would be my permanent home for 5 years. I'll be stuck there, as it were, living there permanently for 5 years. But there's a sense when in spiritual terms, we are not living in permanent houses, are we? We're living in tents. We take up the pegs, we move on, because we are constantly moving on with God. We are spiritually in tents. We are on a journey with God, a constant journey. We need constantly to be moving on with God rather than getting stuck in one place. Our thinking is changing. Our understanding is growing. God calls us to move on with him as we renew our covenant. So we must listen to God's calling and seek to discover where we are to go next on our journey with him. So as we come to God this morning, we come just as the people we are now, at this particular point in our spiritual journey. We trust in God's promise, praising God, for God has provided for us the means of grace in Jesus that we might join in a perpetual covenant with him. We receive bread, our food for the journey. Bread that symbolizes the faithfulness of Christ, the food that he gives to us. And we pray for the renewing of our minds so that we may discern what is the will of God for us in our lives. So we come. We come in confidence. We come knowing that God joins us on this journey. We come to renew our covenant relationship with our faithful, our merciful, and our unchanging God.